Well, good afternoon, brethren, and welcome visitors, and those on the webcast. How many of us feel like our lives have been at times like this vase shown on the screen? Damaged by so many cracks and broken pieces, most of us would just probably toss this vase into the trash. At some point in our lives, perhaps the impact of our sins that has caused brokenness and cracks can still torment us. We can define these cracks and broken pieces as the mistakes and sins that we have made in the past. Depending on the damage and hurt that our past sins have caused, sinful memories can haunt and hurt that our past sin has caused. Sinful memories can haunt us and resurrect painful thoughts. Sinful memories can haunt us and resurrect painful thoughts. Dwelling on past sins, these cracks in our lives can get to the point that it robs us of the peace of mind and the very joy of salvation that started when we were baptized. Brethren, our baptism enabled us to open our eyes to a promised future with God's assured involvement in our lives. Still, though, we can experience times of depression and weakness that can cause us to forget that God has forgiven our sins that we have sincerely repented from. In our repentance, God made a commitment. In Psalm 103, verse 12, and it states, "He removes our transgressions as far as east is from the west." But sadly, we often bring our transgressions back into remembrance, not only to ourselves, but at times we bring them up in our prayers to God. Brethren, instead of dwelling on the cracks and failures in our lives, which we all have, we should instead be faithfully confident in God's commitment to each and every one of us once we truly repent of a sin. Abby, would you please put up slide number 2? Now look at this second vase. Obviously, it has been cracked and patched up. But would you be surprised to find that it is a priceless piece of art? An interesting analogy to our lives, and this vase is a form of Japanese art that is hundreds of years old. No one knows its origins. But kintsugi is not only a thing of beauty, but also a facet of Japanese philosophy. Kintsugi literally means golden joinery. That's J-O-I-N-E-R-Y. Japanese artisans repair broken ceramics with a special lacquer mixed with powdered precious metals. Precious metals like gold, silver, and platinum, creating beauty from the ugliness of breakage. The repaired cracks highlight events in the object's life, specifically the ones that cause damage and may, even render the object useless before its repair. From this process of joinery, there has arisen a philosophy of embracing the flawed or imperfect. The Japanese recognize that the broken but repaired object is now even more valuable, teaching them to embrace mistakes with a proper repair. A repair that not only restores usefulness, but also adds value. As Christians, we can apply this philosophy to sins that we have overcome. In this regard, the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, has much to teach us. And we all know the story very well. A wealthy man has two sons. And the younger son tells his father that he does not want to wait for his inheritance, amounting to one-third of the father's estate, as his older brother would receive a double portion. His father complies, giving his younger brother his inheritance. Shortly thereafter, the son travels to a faraway country and wastes all the inheritance, probably doing all the things one might expect of an irresponsible young man. And, as we know, a famine strikes that land, and now he is completely broke, with few friends and no family to lean on. Luke 15:15 states that he then joined himself to a citizen of the country. Interestingly, the word joined in the Greek means glue. In other words, it is saying that this young man became a bondservant of that citizen who sends him to feed, we all know, the pigs. What a total indignity for a Jewish man. The younger son is truly stuck, or we could say glued, in an overwhelmingly adverse situation, all because of his bad decisions. In the same regard, the choices we make and have made have consequences, good or bad. In the case of the younger man, he was going, I think you'll agree, from bad to worse. He had a good life at home with his kind father and his brother, but he threw it all away. Yet now he is so hungry, he would have even eaten the pig's food. As Jesus says in Luke 15:16, no one gave him anything. He was alone. He was essentially reaping what he sowed, living on the street as a homeless person. But then, as stated in verse 17, God opens his mind. He comes to himself. In other words, he comes to his senses and said, oh, how foolish I have been. With no other options and literally starving, he decides to return to his father's house and present himself as a hired servant. His father is thrilled to see him come back, to come back home. Even better, his son confesses before God and his father that he has committed a grievous sin. In humility, he does not ask to be reinstated to his previous position, but simply begs his father for mercy. He deeply repented, but his father's reaction is more than he could have hoped for. The father does not condemn him. Instead, the father rejoices and forgives him completely, commanding his best robe, a ring, and his sandals to be brought out for his son. These gifts signify the son's complete restoration, or could we say repair? A repair to his role within the family, despite his previous grievous transgressions. Bible scholar Dr. Eaton Barr explains, the best robe belongs not to one of the servants, but to the father, and is saved for special events and celebrations. It was a long robe worn by the upper classes in the East. It was a symbol of honor and status. By requesting this robe for his son, the father was repairing and reinstating his son's honor and place in the family. This gesture, especially in front of the household servants, is a public proclamation that the son's past is forgiven and forgotten, and his original status in the family remains unchanged. The father didn't only show compassion by forgiving the past mistakes, he gave grace by reminding his son and everyone else around that he still loves his son. Merging this parable with the Japanese art form, kintsugi, we can see in our lives that the gold of repentance and forgiveness fills the cracks left by sin. When, with God's help, we repent, and overcome our mistakes and sins, God makes good from those experiences. By our sinful actions and missing the mark of perfection in our conduct, we are just like these cracked and damaged vessels. But when God grants us repentance and forgiveness, he heals those cracks with lacquer and gold by his Holy Spirit. That beautiful joinery becomes a permanent part of our, shall we say, our new and improved character. When this happens, we are actually much better than we were before, stronger, more pleasing, and more useful to God, even more perfect. Despite our many flaws, God's purpose is to bring us to perfection, as he states in Hebrews 6:1. Within God's purpose, Jesus Christ's life as a human being was ordained to perfect him and leave us an example to follow through the sufferings he, without flaws, experienced. The author in Hebrews 2:10 clearly explains this to us, brethren. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus was made perfect for his position as high priest by the things he suffered. Before Jesus was born as a human being, Jesus never suffered any form of weakness, never experienced temptation, fear, or hunger. He never experienced the needs of a human being. But our Savior emptied himself in the grand plans of things and came in the flesh, as stated in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. He did this so he could relate to human beings in a way that he never could before. So no one really can come up to him in the future resurrections and say, oh, you're God. You knew what was going on. It was easy for you. You don't know the pain and the suffering that we went through. Well, that's bogus, because essentially he walked in our shoes. There will be no excuse. Because of this, his suffering as a human being, he understands human weaknesses. He is the perfect intercessor between God and man. He has been made perfect for his new role. Brethren, we are being trained for positions of kings and priests. As we know, it's stated in Revelation 5:10, every word of God is true. It's going to happen, and we're going to be under Jesus Christ. God is perfect, and he's creating us to be perfect for our future roles under our high priest. As a priest trained by Jesus Christ, we will be able to empathize with others, their shortcomings, and the cracks in their lives. Here's a very familiar scripture, but maybe we can take just a little bit different look on it. And this is in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Brethren, notice the scope of this promise, all things. God has the sovereignty and the power to bring all good things to pass. And that can also include negative things that can ultimately be turned to good ends. He can turn sorrow to joy and failure in a person's life to wisdom and growth. With God in charge, the events of our lives, good and bad, work together like an orchestra played by very different instruments, sounding an array of diverse notes, but the result is beautiful music. Author Brian Weiner asserts, if you could erase all the mistakes of your past, you could also erase all of the wisdom of the present. Remember the lesson, not the disappointment. It is commonly recognized that when we make a mistake, the best thing we can do is to use it as a learning tool. Can you imagine the lesson that the prodigal son would be able to pass down to his family, his children, his grandchildren? When we stumble, and we will, absorb and learn from the lesson about what not to do. We should turn it into a positive to improve ourselves and help others. Remember, with God, all things work together for good. King Solomon followed very precise plans from God when he built the first temple. 1 Kings 6:7 notes the following. And the temple, when it was built with stone, finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. The temple's stones were quarried, shaped, and finished off-site, so that when they came together, they fit together perfectly. Likewise, God has precise plans for each and every one of us here. Each and every one that he calls. Each and every one that listens. We too are being prepared. You could say, off-site in the quarries of this world, so that when the spiritual temple is completed, we too will fit together perfectly. Just like the stones in the temple that Solomon built. Recalling the process of kintsugi, when a dish is broken, it is not thrown away. It is repaired, and the refurbished item becomes something more valuable. Britannica.com has an interesting comment. The centuries-old practice is often used to mend treasured objects by beautifying the cracks, which serve as a visual record of the object's history. In Psalm 147, verse 3, the psalmist writes, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. How many people are brokenhearted these days? How many people have been brokenhearted throughout history? God is going to bind up those wounds, is he not? And there are many biblical examples of people whom God used despite or perhaps because of their weaknesses. God told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Brethren, God has a very interesting command in Isaiah 43, verse 18, in regards to what I'm talking about, and I'm going to state this in the New International Version. And I think he probably meant us to hear this with a great deal of emphasis. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Brethren, in this physical life, we will fall short at times. We will make mistakes. And yes, we get chipped and cracked. But if we allow God to do his handiwork of spiritual repair, we too will be made perfect. Being prepared to help other future children of God. Oh, what a task. What a wonderful task is out there for each and every one of us in this regard. Brethren, the previous picture of this broken porcelain represents who we were. The golden repair to the cracks of this vase represents who we are becoming with God's Holy Spirit. We must keep moving forward, not dwelling on the past. Now is our time of judgment. Our great God is making us into vessels of honor, as he stated in 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 through 21. And as this vase that we previously saw is a priceless piece of art, we need to remember how much more precious and priceless we are to God the Father and Jesus Christ. And to him who forgives and heals belongs all the glory.